Hello and welcome to another episode of Monday Mile. We're a few episodes in now, so you know the drill. I'm Amy Fuller, two-time Winter Olympian, and this is your source of all things Monday motivation. If you haven't already, then go back and check out some of the previous episodes with the likes of Jenny Falconer, Wayne Bridge, Millie Bright. Whether you love or hate Mondays, I'm here to decode them and bring you the good vibes to start your week strong. Like many people over the last year, I've lost days to the screen, so thought now was a great time to take the conversation outside and keep things moving. Spring is here, so there is no better time to ask sports people, celebrities, and all-around inspirational personalities to join me for a one-mile walking podcast. This week, I'm heading to Southwest London to meet one of the most well-known doctors in the game. It's Dr. Ranch. He's been the resident expert on ITV's This Morning for a number of years and is paving the way with the importance of mental health awareness. I've come to meet him in what he calls his backyard, Battersea Park. The sun is shining and the lockdown is lifting. I'm ready to find out what motivation he uses day in, day out. So let's go. Dr. Ranj, welcome to Monday Mile.
Welcome to my garden.
Where are we?
We're in Battersea Park, which I kind of feel like is my garden a little bit, because I don't have any outside space where I live. So, and I've got this on my doorstep.
This is your zone.
This is my neighbourhood, let's say.
The neighbourhood's looking rather busy today.
Yeah, so obviously as lockdown restrictions are starting to ease, people are keen to get outside. People are getting a lot more confident with getting outside. And even I didn't expect it to be this busy though. This is quite full on.
It feels like the end is in sight. Like there's some hope and there's the air feels lighter.
Yeah.
Do you feel that? Or not? As an NHS doctor, is there like an element of concern with the amount of mingling, or are you feeling good about it?
Well, it's always a balance, isn't it? We've come out of a really dark time, I think. You know, we've got through a long lockdown, through a difficult period of months that it's colder and darker anyway. People have been feeling doomy and gloomy that entire time. And now that the weather's improving, the coronavirus conditions are improving, let's be honest. You know, numbers are going in the right direction. Lockdown is starting to ease. People are keen to get out, but you've got to balance it up with the risk because we're not completely in the clear yet.
We're not corona-free yet.
We're not corona-free. You know, a lot of people have been vaccinated, but a lot of people have yet to have their vaccines.
Myself
We've
included.
We've still got to follow all the other guidance, so hands, face, space, you know, fresh air. But that's the one thing I do want to point out is that the lowest risk activities currently are outside. So the risk of transmission of coronavirus between person to person outside is really low.
Nice.
So if you want to ease yourself back into society, which is what I've kind of been talking to a lot of people about, because naturally people are anxious right now, not
of
just anxious about coronavirus, but anxious about getting back to normal life. So I said, one of the best things you can do is get outside and go for a walk. It's
Love
safe
that.
And you can do it at your own pace, in your own time, for as long or as short as you want to do it. And here we are.
You're setting the pace right here on Monday Mile. Proof of the pudding.
Yeah.
Get outside and socialise. Have you got any little tips or tricks for people that are maybe feeling the pressure about going to meet with their friends or seeing their family, about how to kind of ease yourself back into the societal norm?
Yeah, oh gosh. We've got to remind ourselves that what we're feeling is normal. So a lot of people are kind of thinking, why am I anxious about getting back to what I've been missing this entire time? The reason being, for about a year, we've been told to stay indoors and stay safe. And psychologically, that has a massive effect on us. So many people have become institutionalized. You know, they don't want to leave their house because actually now they're quite scared of it. So these feelings of anxiety that we're getting, we don't know what kind of world we're going to come out into. We don't know whether there's going to be another blip in cases. All of these unknowns are creating this anxiety, and that's a perfectly normal feeling. So don't beat yourself up for that. Give yourself time to process it and just keep reminding yourself that you will feel better. And one of the best things to do right now, rather than going from 0 to 100, get out there, start running around.
I feel like today feels a little bit like
closer
that.
Closer to the 100, I know you mean. Set boundaries, set some new boundaries. So go out, do something by yourself or with a friend, do it for a short period of time, and then just see how you go, and then gradually push your boundaries further and further. don't expect it to go perfectly. It won't always go perfectly. Yeah. If you're feeling really, really bad, talk to those people around you and tell them what's going on, because if all of a sudden you start to act unusual, or, you know, you just want to get up and go, then at least they understand.
Yeah.
Take your time. Take your time. Okay. We'll get there.
Time is your friend.
Time is your friend. And just, you know, give yourself a break. We've all been through a hell of a lot.
Yeah, it has been a crazy time.
Yeah.
I think also a time to maybe reflect on, I think, some positive change in terms of the discussion around mental health.
Yes.
You're a huge advocate and speak very, very openly about the topic of mental health. And I feel like this year has seen some positive changes in it coming to fruition and more people speaking openly about that. Do you feel like you've seen that change from the medical side of things? Is it something that is coming to light and there's more support in that department? Or is there still a long way to go? Because from my side of things, I've been made more aware of it. I think it is spoken about more and it seems more normal to speak about your mental health.
Yeah. One thing that's definitely happened during this pandemic is that the whole topic of mental health and the experience of mental health has been amplified.
Yeah.
So people who had mental health problems before or difficulties found, some of them got worse.
Yeah, of course.
Quite understandably. Some of us developed mental health issues that we didn't even have before. Completely understandable. So that conversation has been very much at the forefront of people's minds.
Yeah.
And quite rightly, I think it's always been important, but I think it's taken a pandemic for us to realise how important it is. And that's quite sad that it's taken that. But in a way, at least we're noticing it now. At least we're talking about it. At least we're a bit more upfront and open about it. The difficulty is that accessing care and help and support has become more difficult. Because firstly, it wasn't adequate in the first place when we were kind of just before the pandemic. And now during lockdown and the pandemic, services completely changed. They changed configuration. They couldn't provide the support that they would do normally, plus there's all these extra people that they need to support now. I've had family members, really close family members, go through really, really difficult times mental health wise recently, and even they struggled to get help, and that breaks my heart, because I'm a doctor. I'm like, I should at least be able to do something. But I understand that loads of people are in that boat. It's something I've spoken about for a really long time. I still think that we need to keep being vocal about it. The government promises, we'll give you, you know, so many more millions to support kids in schools with their mental well-being and the rest of society as we get back to normal. I want to see that change now.
You want to see the change,
I want to see the results. I want to see that translate into something that actually makes a difference. It's fine. We're all encouraging everyone, you know, reach out, talk about it. That's great.
Yeah.
Now we actually need to provide some support. Now we need to provide them with the help they need to get better.
And for anyone that has suffered during this period of time, what advice would you give to anyone who's maybe nervous about speaking out? Like, how do you start that conversation? Because that's one thing I've always wondered. If I was in that position, how would I go about it? Who would I reach out to?
Yeah, yeah.
So, do you have a... I'm asking for a lot of advice here, Ange. I'm putting you on the spot, but for people that might be suffering, what's the best thing they can do to take action and take control of the way they're feeling?
So if you're the person that's going through the difficulty, we always say this to everyone, is reach out, talk to someone. That is the hardest step, though. If you're the person who's really struggling, the most difficult thing people find is opening up and having that first conversation and admitting they need help.
Yeah.
And then sadly, because as I was saying, help isn't always forthcoming, when they get that first setback, they stop or they regress a little bit and it makes things worse. Don't let that happen. If you need help, you deserve help, you can feel better, but you just got to keep knocking on those doors. You've got to keep reaching out until you get what you need. If you're worried about someone in your life, a friend or a family member that you think is going through a difficult time, just take a little bit of time out with them and in their own pace, in their own way, as they see comfortable, ask them, how are they?
Yeah.
And not just a colloquial way, how are you doing? Not that, but how are you doing? Like, are you okay? Are you coping with everything? And I have a mnemonic that I say to people when you're having a sort of a, you know, a mental well-being conversation with someone, remember laugh, not literally laugh out loud. So yeah, listen to that other person, because that's the best thing that you can do, is provide that listening ear. Acknowledge what they're saying. So even if you may not necessarily have experienced it yourself,
yep,
or you may not agree with some of their things, acknowledge that it's important to them. Try to understand where they're coming from.
Yep.
Give them, point them in the direction of, guidance, or if you can signpost them to support. And then the final thing is do something practical. Give them a helping hand.
Okay.
Even if it means making them a cup of tea, picking their kids up from school one night for them to give them a little bit of a break, giving them a lift to work as safely as possible. Just do something small
windows
and practical.
Open.
Windows open.
Windows open.
Yeah. But just something really practical. The basics of just knowing that someone is thinking about you and has your best interests at heart is in itself so powerful.
It means a lot.
Anything
here.
Else you do outside that, it's just fluff, it's bonus. You know, the most important bit is knowing that someone cares.
Yeah, too true. Too true. So on a bit of a lighter note, we've got quite serious quite quick, but
yeah,
I'd like to say you are winning at life. How?
I don't know about that.
No. How do you find the time to fit it all in? You're an NHS doctor.
Yeah.
The tempo's been increased this year, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
You sing. You dance. You dance very well.
Thanks.
And you're a television doctor. Like,
yeah,
there's a lot of moving parts here.
Yeah.
So what's your routine? How do you fit it all in?
Do you know what? I'm one of these people who's a bit of an opportunist. So I'm like, if any opportunity comes along...
Want to go for a walk around Battersea Park?
Exactly. If an opportunity comes along and I can maybe have a go at something new or make something that I'm proud of or do something that's really, really important and positive, then I'm going to take it up. Because I always think to myself, I don't want to be in my deathbed and kind of look back and think, oh, do you know what? I wish I'd done that.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I'd done that. Even if I do it and fail, it doesn't matter.
No, I like that.
If I do it and it's great, bonus, brilliant. If I do it and it's not so great, it doesn't matter, let's move on. So one of the things I did during this lockdown is I've written a couple of books, which I would never, ever, ever have written books, because writing gives me anxiety. So I naturally have this, it's because of university, I did too many essays and exams, it makes me anxious. So I pushed myself through and I wrote a book about growing up for young boys,
like a grown-up
guide, so it's all modern, up-to-date, so it covers mental health, social media, all that kind of stuff. It's called How to Grow Up and Feel Amazing, obviously.
I love that.
I've written a kid's picture book called Superhero Like You, which celebrates key workers during the pandemic. And now I'm working on the next one.
You're on a roll.
I don't know what's happened. I've kind of become a bit of a fan of writing now. But I probably don't have the best work-life balance.
Yeah.
Like, I'm guilty of working at 10 o'clock at night sometimes, being on my computer, but I'll be at home and I'll have music on and, you know,
vibing in your own time.
Exactly.
Creativity,
it doesn't
right?
It feel like work, but it is work. And then my NHS stuff I tend to do on the weekends.
Okay.
Obviously not today.
Yeah.
But I tend to do that in the evenings and weekends and just put everything else around it. Because, hey, you only get one life.
Yeah, you do.
You only get one life. Might
one
as well
life.
Make the most of it.
You got to live it the way that it works for you,
and
right?
One thing this year has taught us is that you've just got to make the most of it, because you never know what's around the corner.
No. Literally, bikes coming at us from every single angle, and small children.
True.
The garden is very busy today.
Yeah, I've got a lot of people over.
So, you competed in BBC Strictly.
Yes.
You got some twinkle toes.
Oh, I quite liked it.
How have you taken anything from that experience into what you're doing now as far as structuring this routine that you speak of? Are you still dancing?
Yeah, so before Strictly, I wasn't a very physical person. I didn't really like going to the gym.
Yeah.
I didn't really like exercising. Like, I just found it really difficult and I just didn't have the motivation. What dancing gave me was a way of keeping fit that was fun. And that's what it's all about. Find the exercise that you love, right? Find what the activity that you love doing that just makes you fitter. And that's what dancing became. Honestly, it was so good for my... I've never been physically fitter, but now I use it for my mental health as well. It makes me feel incredible. I'm still not that good at it. But
it doesn't matter how good you are. For me, I think sport and movement in general, it's 100% about enjoyment and also the sense of achievement after you've done something. I can't relate to that on a dancing front. I don't think I've ever completed a full dance. No.
Do you know what? You just... It's a lot of concentration. It's really weird. It gets easier as you go on. So the more dancing you do, the better you become it. And actually, the easier you find it to remember the steps. So I found that by the end of Strictly, I could pick up a dance in 30 minutes, like a routine. Not perfectly, but I knew the routine.
Like the full routine you'd perform on Friday.
I could learn it in 30 minutes. At the start, it took me 3 days.
That time scale doesn't seem fathomable.
Your brain does something weird and you get this muscle memory. It's absolutely brilliant. It's so good. And it's really good for your brain as well. Yeah. As a memory exercise, it's fantastic.
So we'll be seeing you dancing more often. I noticed you've got a show coming up in June.
Oh my gosh.
Can you tell us a bit about that?
Oh my God. It's like one of those like mind blown moments. So I recently did All Star Musicals on ITV and got to live my like musical theatre fantasy. Loved it, had a great time. And then I get this call saying, would you like to do one night at the West End? Would you like to create a show?
Obviously,
I said yes.
That is wild.
And then I panicked afterwards and thought, how do you put a show together? I've got a great friend called Owen Mallon who's producing. He's a vocal coach and a producer. So he's doing the sort of organisation side of it. And I'm going to be singing. I've got some very special friends coming.
Go on then, who's on the guest list?
So far we've got Gethin Jones is hosting it.
Awesome.
On from Morning Live on the BBC. We've got Jeanette Manrara, who is my partner in Strictly.
Magical
She's going to be singing.
Is she a singer?
She can sing.
Really?
Yeah. So she sings in her own tours. So I was like, you have to come sing. Jenny Ryan from The Chase, the Vixen.
Oh, no way.
She can belt a song out. She
Brilliant.
Is a proper singing diva. And then obviously Faye from Steps.
No way! That is an incredible lineup. You've practically got a band. You've got your own band.
But we've got more names coming. Some really exciting ones, hopefully. I'm basically calling up all my mates and saying, look, this is for charity. It's for the Make a Difference Trust to support theatre professionals who got impacted by COVID. I was like, look, it's for charity. I can't pay you, but, you know, I'll buy you a packet of sweets and a drink.
Will you please
just come and sing?
Brilliant.
But yeah, fingers crossed we've got some really good names coming.
Are there tickets left?
We are 75% sold out in 24 hours.
How can people book?
So I'm hoping there's still be tickets left. It's nymaxtheatres.com. Just go to What's On. You'll see my mug on one of the icons. Click on
that. Double click.
It's for charity at the end of the day. And so it's for a great cause. And it'll be a great night. Get people back into theatres. Remember that magic of theatre that we all used to experience?
I know, we long for it.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but...
I'm so excited.
We're on the way. I'm feeling it. This sun on the skin, being outside.
This is lovely.
How important would you say it's been, like, during this time for people to get out and about and the positive health benefits to being outside? Sunshine, vitamin D.
Exactly. Well, that's the first... That's the first thing everyone thinks of. But I think we've... It's only when we got told that we had to stay indoors that we realised how important being outside was.
Yeah.
Because even like when we were allowed out for an hour, people were making the most of that. It is hugely important, not just physically, like physical activity and getting about and stuff like that, but mentally being outside, being in open spaces, being around other people, obviously as safely as possible, is hugely beneficial. Like you can't underestimate it.
No.
If you can get out and get some sun safely, then that's really important as well. So I'm so glad that we're now able to do this. This is the safest thing that we can do in terms of activities right now, is go outside.
Get outside.
Get outside and, you know,
have a little chat with a friend. Maybe even have a little drink.
Go for a walk.
Get your steps in. Do you do the whole step thing? As a doctor?
I try, but I just find I'd be constantly like worrying about, have I done enough steps today?
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be too hard on myself.
Not going to beat yourself up.
Exactly. I just thought,
I like that. So this is called Monday Mile.
Yeah.
My walk and talk podcast. So we like to ask everyone about their relationship
with... Oh, okay.
Oh, we can go there.
Where we were going with it then.
Their relationship with the start of the week, Monday. Oh. What's your vibe? Do you like Mondays? Or is it one of those like, oh, no, I've got work tomorrow?
If you can love what you do, then you found the right thing. So yeah. I don't really have a Monday to Friday working week.
No.
Which is why for me, Mondays are just any other day. That's fine.
Sounds a bit like me.
Yeah. It's just any other. The only problem I have, I'm not a morning person.
Okay.
So my brain doesn't kick in till about 11, 12 o'clock.
Okay.
And then I carry on going till quite late.
Yeah.
Whereas some people are naturally early morning, you know, that's when they're most productive. That's not me.
It's not a vibe.
No. Not me. I need to ease myself into the day. Nice. But Mondays are just like any other day. So yeah, I could be working on the weekend and then Monday just happens to be the day that I'm not doing anything, if you know what I mean.
So take it in your stride.
I've kind of lost that sort of Monday blues thing that people, we used to get.
I think as someone that doesn't traditionally work Monday to Friday as well, you can find that on the weekends you're like, whoa, everything's really busy, or it's really quiet. You know, go to the shops in the week. It's definitely the time to go.
The one thing you got to be careful of, though, when you don't have that Monday to Friday structure or that 9 to 5, when you start to blur that, it's really easy to keep working at silly times and not give yourself a break. I found that, like, especially lockdown, people were working at home a lot.
Yeah,
you end up taking more on the. You think, do you know what? Oh, I could do an extra hour. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving, you know, to leave the office or anything. I'm in the office the entire time. And that's the real danger, is that we become overloaded, and I have to be really careful of that.
Yeah.
I have to learn to say no.
I can imagine you don't do that often.
I don't. And I've been told off for it, and I've got in trouble for it, and I've had to stop and have a word with myself and say, do you know, it's okay to say no sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I always want to help people out wherever I can, but...
You're a man in demand, Ranj. You've got loads going on.
You have to look after yourself.
Yeah,
because if you don't, you can't pour from an empty bucket. Isn't that a saying or something? Something about buckets and pouring, anyway.
But we're good with
fill
these.
Fill your own bucket first.
We're good with these expressions. For anyone that liked to leave a series of quotes of the expressions we've tried to quote in the comments below, please do.
Look after your own bucket first.
Okay.
Something like that.
Okay, my last little question for you on our 1 mile stroll, because we're coming to a close.
Wow.
We're getting those steps in.
We are, aren't we? I'm going to tick off this.
What's your actual morning routine like? As someone that isn't a big fan of the mornings, how do you sort of come to ease and warm up? Ranj style, what's the warm up?
So if I'm not in hospital, because when I'm doing a shift, I'm usually working from 8 o'clock in the morning, so I'm up early.
So if I'm working
from home or doing a non-hospital day,
like
I start to wake up naturally about 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, and my mates are already up and have done most of their day.
Oh no! Does that not give you a bit of like anxiety?
I feel guilty. Yeah. I feel a little bit guilty because then the first thing I do. This is really bad. I look at my phone and look at all the messages, and there's usually like a ton of WhatsApps. Everyone's doing X, Y, and Z. So I start replying at that point. I have coffee, might have a little bit of breakfast, get up, get ready. That's really important. Always make my bed.
Yep.
Get up, get showered, get dressed. Those small accomplishments, as silly as trivial as they may seem, are hugely psychologically important, because it makes you feel like you've done something.
Yeah.
So start your day like that.
So very strong. So you've
just mope around in the PJs.
It's been very easy to be like, oh yeah, I'll just cruise in my sweats all day.
I haven't worn jeans in weeks.
How did it feel putting them on?
I had to jump to get them on. I'm even wearing a belt. I don't need to.
I don't think any of us do. Maybe we should keep walking. Dr. Ranj, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For joining us on Monday Mile. I think there's some really, really strong takeaway points for people there. And plus a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
And a strong sense of inspiration for following your dreams, whatever
it might
be.
I hope so. You know, take every opportunity. Who knows what it could lead to? And you never know what's around the corner. You don't want to wake up one day and regret what you haven't done. So grab it with both hands and run with it.
So does that mean you're going to come for a snowboarding lesson now?
Snowboarding? I've done that once. I'm not very good at it. I'm not sure I'm quite ready. Maybe let me get some strength back.
There you go. That's me giving you an opportunity.
Okay. All right.
Snowboarding lesson.
I'll think about it.
Epic. Monday Mile, it is a wrap. What a conversation that was with Dr. Ranch. A serious abundance of positive mental energy. I absolutely loved it. Look, the sun is shining, the lockdown is slowly lifting. So get out there, be safe, have fun, and Monday, let's have it.